Welcome back for another deep dive.
Always excited to jump back in.
You guys sent in some really fascinating stuff this time, excerpts from a lecture by Dr. Ted Hildebrand.
Oh yeah, he's a leading expert on Proverbs, right?
Yeah, and he has this really interesting way of connecting ancient wisdom with modern psychology.
I like that. I'm always up for that kind of blend.
Me too. So he's been diving deep into chapters 10 through 15, focusing on how those Proverbs were designed to motivate people.
Motivation, huh? That's a big one.
Yeah. So get ready, because we're about to uncover some really cool insights into what makes us tick.
And maybe even some tips on how to inspire action in ourselves and others.
Absolutely. So what really struck you about Dr. Hildebrand's lecture?
Well, you know, it's fascinating how these ancient texts can still speak to us today.
Yeah, for sure.
And one thing that really stood out to me was his point about the motivational element being woven into the very fabric of the Old Testament.
Oh, interesting.
It's not just about laying down the law, you know? It's also about explaining the why behind the what.
So it's not just do this, but do this because.
Exactly. And those because statements, they actually provide a whole motivational framework.
Like a reason to buy in, not just obey blindly.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, imagine reading the Ten Commandments, and instead of just, you shall not steal,
you get more.
You see, for stealing disrupts community and breaks trust.
Oh, I see.
It's not just a rule. It's an appeal to a deeper value.
That makes a lot of sense. But didn't Dr. Hildebrand say that Proverbs, especially chapters 10 through 15, doesn't always spell out those motives so clearly?
That's right. That's where it gets really interesting. He argues that the motivational element is still there.
Okay.
It's just embedded in the structure and the language of the Proverbs.
Kind of hidden in a way?
Yeah, you could say that. So he's actually developed a whole system for decoding these Proverbs.
A whole system? Wow.
Yeah. You know, looking for patterns and those hidden motives by breaking down each line.
So it's like you need a secret decoder ring to unlock the true meaning.
Uh-huh, kind of. But seriously, it's pretty fascinating stuff. What do you think? Does it make sense to you?
Yeah, it does. I mean, with poetry, sometimes the meaning is between the lines, right?
Exactly.
But I have to admit, it all feels a bit academic to me. Like, how does this decoding actually work in practice?
Oh, I can give you a great example. Let's take Proverbs 10.1.
Okay.
It says, "A wise son brings joy to his father. A foolish son is a grief to his mother."
Okay, I know that one.
So Dr. Hildebrand would point out that this proverb is contrasting two types of sons.
Right, the wise one and the foolish one.
Exactly. And then it shows you the impact they have on their parents. So you see the potential for both positive and negative consequences.
I'm starting to see where you're going with this. It's like the proverb is presenting you with two paths and letting you choose which outcome you prefer.
You got it.
It's subtle, but pretty effective.
That's the beauty of it.
So if we're getting this right, this actually challenges a common assumption about Proverbs, right?
Yeah. A lot of people think it's all about do this and this will happen, a very simple cause and effect.
Right, like a recipe for good behavior.
Yeah, but Dr. Hildebrand suggests that it's often more about become this kind of person and these are the natural consequences that flow from your character.
Oh, so it's not just about what you do, but who you are at your core.
Precisely.
That's deep.
And he argues that this emphasis on character is really key to developing true wisdom.
Because if you're focusing on building good character, the right actions will naturally follow.
Exactly. Which I think has some pretty powerful implications for how we approach personal growth, you know?
Yeah, and decision-making in our own life. But isn't there a danger in focusing too much on consequences?
Mm.
I don't know, it feels a bit manipulative, like you're trying to scare people into being good.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Where's the line between wise guidance and, you know, just trying to control people's behavior?
That's a really insightful question.
Thanks.
And it really gets to the heart of what true wisdom is all about. Proverbs isn't about blind obedience or fear-based manipulation, right?
Right.
It's about understanding the natural order of things.
Like there are laws of physics.
Exactly. The inherent connection between our choices and their outcomes. It's like learning about gravity.
Oh, okay.
You don't jump off a cliff because you're afraid of gravity.
You jump off because you want to see what happens.
Well, some people might. But the point is you do it because you understand the consequences.
Okay, that makes sense. But you've used that word consequences a lot.
Have I?
Yeah. Are all the consequences in Proverbs negative?
No, not at all. Remember, the Proverbs often highlight the positive outcomes of wisdom as well.
Right, of course.
It's about presenting a balanced view, showing you the potential for both flourishing and suffering based on your choices.
Okay.
And this brings us to one of the most fascinating aspects of Proverbs.
Which is?
How it uses a particular poetic structure to amplify its motivational impact.
You mean that tongue twister, antithetical parallelism?
Uh-huh.
I have to admit, that one always throws me off a bit.
It is a mouthful, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
But the concept is actually quite simple.
Okay.
It just refers to the way these proverbs use contrasting lines.
Okay.
To create a heightened sense of, well, motivation.
Can you give me an example of that?
Sure. Remember our earlier example. A wise son brings joy to his father. A foolish son is a grief to his mother.
Yeah, yeah.
You see both sides of the coin there.
Yeah.
The potential for both joy and grief.
So by presenting those contrasting outcomes side by side, the proverb is like packing a double punch.
That's a great way to put it.
You're both drawn to the good and repelled by the bad. Pretty clever.
Right. It's very effective.
But is there anything else that makes this poetic structure so effective? I mean, why not just say be wise and leave it at that?
That's a great question. Dr. Hildebrandt points out that proverbs found outside of the Book of Proverbs,
yeah,
they often are single lines, not these contrasting pairs.
Oh, interesting.
So that suggests that this particular poetic structure might be intentionally designed to amplify that motivational impact.
It's like they knew they had to make the message stick, so they used this poetic device to really drive it home.
Exactly.
It almost makes you wonder what other techniques they were using to, like, grab people's attention and make them think, you know?
Well, Dr. Hildebrandt does highlight the power of storytelling in Proverbs.
Oh, storytelling. Everyone loves a good story.
Right. And he actually illustrates this with a personal anecdote about a rather risky childhood adventure.
Oh, now I'm intrigued.
Jumping off a bridge.
Jumping off a bridge. Okay, now that's a story I have to hear.
That's a good one. So he grew up near Niagara Falls.
Niagara Falls. Wow.
Yeah, and he and his friends would jump off these arches under a bridge into the river.
Wait, into the Niagara River. That seems a little reckless, even for a kid.
Perhaps. But that's part of what makes the story so compelling, right?
Okay, I see that.
It highlights those inherent risks and rewards that shape our motivation, especially when we're young.
Yeah, when you're young and invincible.
Exactly. But I'm curious, were you worried about the falls when you heard that part?
Yeah, actually, I was like, hold on, how close were they to the falls?
Right. Well, that's the thing. He mentions that one of his friends wasn't a very strong swimmer.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. And he jumped in, but wasn't able to swim back to the piling fast enough.
I bet the current was strong there.
Very strong. And it swept him downstream. So he missed out on all the fun with the rest of the group.
Oh, wow. That's a real life illustration of consequences right there.
Isn't it?
And it wasn't even some big moral failing or anything. It was just a lack of preparation meeting a challenging situation.
Exactly.
It really makes you think about how often we jump into things without considering all the angles.
Doesn't it?
Yeah. But I'm curious, the motivation in that story seems to be all about threat seeking, right? Like the fun of the challenge. Does Proverbs only address those kinds of motivations?
Oh, that's a great question.
I mean, what about things like wanting security or helping others or even just, you know, feeling content?
Well, that's a perfect segue into a much richer exploration of the spectrum of motivation that Proverbs actually explores.
Okay, so it's not all about jumping off bridges and dodging waterfalls.
Not quite.
What other motivational forces does Proverbs reveal?
Oh, there are so many. Dr. Hildebrandt identifies several categories of motivation.
Like what?
Well, everything from personal drives, like hunger.
Makes sense. Gotta eat.
Right. And the need for security.
Feeling safe and sound.
Exactly. And then you have social concerns like friendship and honor.
Oh, yeah. Those are big ones, too.
And, of course, there are theological motivations.
Seeking God's favor.
Yes. And fearing his judgment. Those are in there, too.
Wow. So it's a pretty wide range, then. Not just the fun versus not fun kind of motivation we usually think about.
Right. It's much more nuanced than that.
I guess the sages back then understood that humans are complex creatures driven by lots of different things.
Yeah.
And here's another thought. Dr. Hildebrandt made a point about Proverbs not shying away from the role of emotions in shaping our motivations.
That's right, he did.
And that's interesting because it kind of challenges the idea that wisdom is purely cognitive.
Yeah, like it's all about cold, hard logic.
Exactly. But maybe it's more about the heart, too.
I think so. You know, Dr. Hildebrandt even cites a proverb where God's emotions are explicitly mentioned.
Really? Which one?
Proverbs 11.1. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight.
Oh, wow.
God is depicted as experiencing both disgust at dishonesty and pleasure at fairness.
That's a powerful image. It suggests that emotions aren't something to be ignored or suppressed.
Right.
But maybe they're actually a part of the path to wisdom.
That's a really insightful observation. And it makes me wonder, what are the different ways those emotions can motivate us?
Well, are we driven more by, like, fear of negative consequences or or the hope of positive outcomes?
That's a great question. It's like, are we running from something bad or running towards something good?
Maybe sometimes it's a bit of both, right?
I think you're onto something there. And that brings us to another important distinction in the world of motivation.
Okay. Tell me more.
The difference between intrinsic and extrinsic motivation.
Okay, remind me about those two. What's the difference again?
All right. So intrinsic motivation is about doing something for its own sake.
Okay.
because you find it inherently enjoyable or meaningful, like those kids jumping off the bridge.
Oh, right.
They were driven by the pure thrill of it, the challenge, the camaraderie.
Yeah, the fun was the reward in itself.
Exactly. They weren't doing it for a prize or anything.
Got it. But then what about extrinsic motivation?
Extrinsic motivation is driven by external factors.
Okay.
So rewards or punishments that come from outside of yourself.
I see. So like getting a good grade to please your parents.
That's a perfect example.
Or working hard to earn a bonus.
Exactly.
So in Proverbs, would you say it leans more toward intrinsic or extrinsic motivation?
That's where it gets a bit more nuanced, I'd say. On the surface, it seems like Proverbs employs a lot of extrinsic motivators.
Okay.
You know, like, do this and you'll gain wealth, do that and you'll face hardship.
Right. Those are pretty clear consequences, both good and bad.
Right. But there's a little bit more to it than that.
Really? So what's the catch?
Well, what's really interesting is that Proverbs doesn't just stop at those external rewards and punishments.
Okay.
It often connects those extrinsic motivators back to, wait for it, character development.
Oh.
Which then leads to a deeper level of intrinsic motivation.
So, wait, I'm not sure I'm following. Can you give me an example?
Sure. Think about that proverb we discussed earlier. A wise son brings joy to his father.
Okay.
So, at first glance, it seems like an external motivator.
Be wise so you'll make your dad happy.
Exactly. But on a deeper level, it's also encouraging the development of wisdom as an internal quality.
Hmm.
You know, something that becomes part of who you are.
Ah, I see. So it's like the extrinsic motivation wanting to please your father can actually lead to the intrinsic motivation of developing true wisdom.
You got it.
That's a really interesting point. It's like they're using those external motivators as a stepping stone to something deeper.
Exactly. And Dr. Hildebrandt really emphasizes that this is a key theme in Proverbs.
Oh.
Combating those tendencies toward learned helplessness and blaming others.
It's like taking ownership, right?
Yes. It's about recognizing that we have agency.
Okay.
The power to choose our path and shape our destiny.
That's powerful stuff.
It is.
It's so easy to fall into that trap of thinking, well, it's not my fault.
Or what difference does it make anyway?
Right, exactly. But Proverbs is saying, no, your choices have power.
And you're responsible for the outcomes.
Yeah. And remember that story about Jocko Willink?
The Navy SEAL.
Yes. The one who took responsibility for that friendly fire incident.
Oh, yeah. Powerful story.
Even though others were willing to take the blame.
He stepped up.
He did. That's such a powerful example of what it means to own your choices and their consequences.
It really is.
It's like he was embodying that proverb about integrity.
Which one is that?
The integrity of the upright guides them, but the crookedness of the treacherous destroys them.
Oh, yeah. Good one.
He could have easily chosen that crooked path.
Right.
But he chose integrity.
And that choice had a ripple effect, for sure.
It did. And it kind of speaks to those broader societal implications of these proverbs, too, right?
Definitely. It's not just about personal growth. It's about creating a better world.
Now, that's something I'm really curious about. So how does Dr. Hildebrandt connect these ideas to society as a whole?
Well, he points out that Proverbs highlights the importance of things like wise leadership.
Makes sense.
Social justice.
Yeah.
And care for the vulnerable.
All essential ingredients for a flourishing society.
Exactly. If individuals are making wise choices and leaders are guided by integrity,
it stands to reason that society as a whole would benefit, right?
Absolutely. And that leads to another fascinating question. How do we actually put these principles into practice?
Ooh, the million-dollar question.
Right. Because it's one thing to read about wisdom in a book.
But it's another thing to actually become wiser.
Exactly. More compassionate people.
Right. And how do we create a culture that reflects those values?
Big questions. And I have a feeling Proverbs has some answers for us.
I think you're right.
One of the most important insights from Dr. Hildebrandt is that wisdom isn't something you just magically acquire.
Yeah, it'd be nice if it were that easy.
Right, but it's a process of ongoing growth and development. It takes effort, it takes discipline, and it often involves making mistakes and learning from them.
So it's not about being perfect, it's about striving to be better.
That's it.
And maybe that's where motivation comes in. It's the fuel that keeps us moving forward on that journey.
I think you got onto something there. But this brings up another interesting point.
What's that?
How do we reconcile the idea that wisdom requires effort?
Okay.
With the fact that Proverbs also presents wisdom as a gift.
A gift.
Something that's freely offered to all who seek it.
Yeah, that is a bit of a paradox, isn't it?
Right.
On the one hand, it's like, come and get it. Wisdom is waiting for you.
But then on the other hand, it's like, roll up your sleeves and get ready to work hard.
How do we make sense of those two seemingly contradictory ideas?
Well, Dr. Hildebrandt suggests that this tension actually aligns with some modern motivational theories.
Ooh.
About the importance of task difficulty.
Task difficulty. Hmm.
Think about it. If something is too easy to achieve, we tend to devalue it, right?
Yeah, for sure. There's no sense of accomplishment.
Exactly. It's like if you win a race that everyone else forfeited.
It doesn't feel like much of a victory.
Exactly.
Okay, so I get that side of it, but what if something feels impossibly difficult?
Then what?
Well, then we might just give up before we even start, right?
Oh, for sure.
The goal seems unattainable, so why bother?
Exactly. So it seems like wisdom has to be challenging enough to be meaningful.
Okay.
But not so difficult that it's discouraging. There needs to be a balance.
A sweet spot, maybe.
Yes. And I think that's where the concept of grace comes in.
Grace. Okay.
Proverbs is offering us wisdom as a gift.
Yeah.
But it's also recognizing that we need help to receive it.
Right.
And to put it into practice.
So it's a partnership then.
I think so.
We have to be willing to do the work.
Yes.
But we're not doing it alone.
Exactly. And that brings us back to this incredible tapestry of motivation that we've been exploring.
This is blowing my mind.
We're driven by our personal desires, our social connection, our understanding of God.
And all of these forces can either work together or pull us in different directions.
It's true. But ultimately, it's up to us to choose how we respond to those motivations.
And to cultivate the character that will lead us towards wisdom and flourishing.
Beautifully said. We've covered so much ground already.
From the structure of Proverbs to the spectrum of human motivation. But I feel like we've only scratched the surface.
Me too. It's a rich topic. What else does Dr. Hildebrand have to say about how we can apply these ancient insights to our modern lives?
That's the question we'll be diving into next. So much to unpack. Where do we even begin?
Well, I think Dr. Hildebrand would probably point us back to that core idea we were talking about earlier.
You mean the link between character and consequences?
Exactly. Remember, he was saying that Proverbs is more about become this kind of person than do this specific thing.
Right. I remember that.
So that's where it all starts, you know, with cultivating the inner qualities that naturally lead to wise choices and actions.
So it's like an inside-out approach to wisdom. You work on becoming a certain kind of person, and then the right action just kind of flow from that.
Exactly. And Dr. Hildebrand highlights several key character traits that are emphasized throughout Proverbs.
Okay, like what?
Things like integrity, diligence, humility.
Okay, those are big ones.
Kindness, self-control.
Gotcha. So these are like the building blocks of a life well-lived.
You could say that. And it's interesting how those qualities resonate with so many different wisdom traditions.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Not just the biblical ones.
It's like there's this universal recognition that these virtues are essential for human flourishing.
I think you're right. It speaks to that deep human longing for meaning and purpose.
And the understanding that true fulfillment comes from aligning ourselves with something bigger than ourselves.
Exactly. But how do we actually cultivate those virtues? Right?
Yeah, that's the tough part. It's one thing to say, be more patient or be more generous.
Right.
But actually putting it into practice can feel really challenging.
I agree. It's definitely not easy. But Dr. Hildebrand suggests that Proverbs actually offers some practical strategies for this.
Okay, I'm listening.
For example, he talks about the power of observation and imitation.
Interesting.
Proverbs encourages us to look for examples of wisdom in action, to learn from those who actually embody the virtues we aspire to.
That makes sense. It's like that old saying, monkey see, monkey do, but in a more intentional way.
Exactly.
We can choose to surround ourselves with people who inspire us to be better versions of ourselves.
That's a great way to put it. And it's not just about finding those positive role models either.
What else?
It's also about recognizing the consequences of unwise choices.
Right. The flip side.
Proverbs uses a lot of vivid imagery and stark contrasts to highlight the pitfalls of things like pride, dishonesty, laziness, anger.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's like they're holding up a mirror and saying, look what happens when you go down that path. Is that really what you want for your life?
It's a pretty effective way to motivate people towards making better choices, wouldn't you say?
It is. And it kind of brings us back to the power of storytelling, too, right?
Yes.
Remember how engaging that personal anecdote from Dr. Hildebrand was?
About jumping off the bridge.
Yeah. Stories have a way of capturing our attention and making those abstract concepts way more relatable.
And memorable.
Totally. We all love a good story. And Proverbs is full of them.
Isn't it?
And even when they're not explicitly telling a story, they're using such vivid language and metaphors to paint pictures in our minds.
Oh, yeah.
It's like they understood that if you want to teach people wisdom, you have to make it come alive.
I love that. And I think there's a lesson in there for all of us.
Oh, what's that?
If we want to motivate ourselves and others towards wisdom, maybe we need to become better storytellers.
Interesting. How so?
You know, finding ways to share our experiences, our insights, our struggles.
In a way that really connects.
Yes, with people's hearts and minds.
That's a beautiful thought. It's like we can each become these modern-day sages.
Weaving words of wisdom.
And inspiration.
That can light a path for ourselves and for others.
And it doesn't have to be some grand epic tale or anything, right?
No, not at all.
It could be just a simple story about a time you faced a challenge, made a mistake, learned a valuable lesson.
Yeah.
The key is to be authentic, to share from a place of genuine experience and insight.
I love that. It's like Proverbs is giving us permission to be vulnerable.
Yeah.
To share our own journeys of seeking wisdom and to encourage others along the way.
And that brings us back to the idea of choice, right?
Yes.
Proverbs is constantly reminding us that we have agency, the power to choose our path. And those choices have consequences.
Right, both for ourselves and for the world around us.
It's empowering, but it's also kind of daunting at the same time.
I know what you mean. It's like, with great power comes great responsibility.
Right. But Proverbs also seems to offer a lot of grace along the way.
Oh, absolutely.
It acknowledges that we're all going to stumble and fall.
It does. We're human, after all.
Exactly.
And that's where the idea of resilience comes in.
Okay, tell me more about that.
Well, Proverbs 24.16 says, "For though the righteous fall seven times, they rise again, but the wicked stumble when calamity strikes."
So it's not about being perfect. It's about getting back up when you fall.
Learning from your mistakes.
And continuing to strive towards wisdom.
Yes, that's such an important reminder because it's so easy to get discouraged when we mess up.
Oh, yeah. You think, I'm not good enough. I should just give up.
It's easy to go down that road. But Proverbs is saying, no, it's okay to fail. As long as you keep getting back up and trying again.
And that's where the community aspect comes in, right?
Yes. Proverbs emphasizes the importance of seeking wise counsel.
Oh, okay.
Surrounding yourself with people who will support you and challenge you to grow.
It's like, we don't have to do this alone. We can lean on each other, encourage each other,
right.
Help each other stay on that path toward wisdom.
Exactly. And as we do that, we start to create a ripple effect, wouldn't you say?
Totally. It spreads outward.
Our individual choices, motivated by wisdom and integrity, start to impact our families, our communities, our world.
It's like those proverbs about social justice and caring for the vulnerable.
Yes. They remind us that our actions have the power to create a more just and compassionate society.
It's really inspiring when you think about it like that. It's like even small acts of kindness, generosity, and integrity can make a difference.
I think you're right. And that brings us back to you.
Me.
Yeah. As we've been exploring all these depths of motivation in Proverbs, I hope you've been inspired to consider how these ancient insights can shape your own life, your interactions with others, even your vision for a better world.
This is making me think a lot. So much has resonated with me.
Yeah.
But if I had to pick one big takeaway, it would be that wisdom isn't just about knowing the right answers. It's about becoming the kind of person who naturally makes wise choices. And that's a journey, not a destination.
Beautifully said.
It takes effort, humility, a willingness to keep learning and growing even when we stumble.
I love that. And remember, you're not alone on that journey. We can all support each other, encourage each other, and inspire each other to live lives that reflect the timeless wisdom of Proverbs.
This has been such a rich and thought-provoking deep dive. Thank you so much for sharing your insights.
It's been my pleasure.
It's really helped me connect these ancient proverbs to my own life. I'm walking away feeling challenged, inspired, and hopeful.
I love that. It's been wonderful exploring these ideas with you. And for you, our listeners, as you go back out into your world, remember the power of choice. We have the ability to make decisions that shape your destiny, to cultivate the virtues that lead to flourishing, and to contribute to a world that reflects wisdom, justice, and compassion.
So powerful. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
Until next time, keep seeking, keep striving, and keep diving deep.
Okay, so we've really been digging into this idea of motivation, but I'm curious how it all connects back to our listeners, you know?
That's a great question.
Like, what does it actually look like to live a life that's motivated by wisdom? How do we take these ancient proverbs and actually turn them into action in our everyday lives?
Well, I think Dr. Hildebrandt would probably point us back to that core idea we discussed earlier, that link between character and consequences.
Right, right.
Remember how he said that Proverbs emphasizes become this kind of person more than do this specific thing?
Yeah, yeah, I remember that.
That's really where it all starts, with cultivating those inner qualities that naturally lead to wise choices and actions.
So it's like an inside-out approach to wisdom.
Exactly.
You work on becoming a certain kind of person.
Uh-huh.
And then the right actions just kind of flow from that.
That's the idea. And, you know, Dr. Hildebrandt actually highlights several key character traits that are emphasized throughout Proverbs.
Oh, like what?
Things like integrity, diligence, humility.
Okay, those are big ones for sure.
Kindness, self-control. These are kind of like the building blocks of a life well-lived, don't you think?
Absolutely. And it's so interesting how those qualities resonate with so many different wisdom traditions.
Oh, for sure.
Not just the biblical ones.
Right.
It's like there's this universal recognition that these virtues are absolutely essential for human flourishing, no matter who you are or where you come from.
It's true. And I think it speaks to that deep human longing that we all have for meaning and purpose.
Yeah.
And that understanding that true fulfillment comes from aligning ourselves with something bigger than ourselves, something beyond just our own immediate needs and desires.
Definitely. But how do we actually cultivate those virtues? You know,
that's the big question, right?
It's one thing to say, be more patient or be more generous.
Right. It's easy to say those things.
But actually putting those things into practice can feel really challenging.
I agree. It's definitely not easy. But Dr. Hildebrandt suggests that Proverbs actually offers some practical strategies for us.
Oh, okay. Like what?
For example, he talks about the power of observation and imitation.
Oh, interesting.
Proverbs actually encourages us to look for examples of wisdom in action, to learn from those who actually embody the virtues that we aspire to.
Makes sense. It's like that old saying, monkey see, monkey do, but in a more intentional way.
Exactly. We can choose to surround ourselves with people who inspire us to be better versions of ourselves.
I love that. And it's not just about finding those positive role models either, right?
Right.
What else?
It's also about recognizing the consequences of unwise choices.
Oh, yeah, the flip side.
Proverbs uses a lot of vivid imagery and really stark contrasts to highlight the pitfalls of things like pride, dishonesty, laziness, anger.
Yeah, they don't sugarcoat it.
Not at all. It's like they're holding up a mirror saying, look, this is what happens when you go down that path. Is this really what you want for your life?
Yeah, it's a pretty effective way to motivate people towards making better choices, wouldn't you say?
It is, and it kind of brings us back to the power of storytelling too, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Remember how engaging that personal anecdote from Dr. Hildebrandt was about jumping off the bridge?
Yeah, stories have this incredible way of capturing our attention and making those abstract concepts so much more relatable.
And memorable too.
Totally. I mean, we all love a good story, and Proverbs is full of them.
It really is.
And even when they're not explicitly telling a story, they're using such vivid language and metaphors to paint these pictures in our minds. It's like they understood that if you want to really teach people wisdom, you have to make it come alive.
You do. I love that. And I think there's a lesson in there for all of us.
Oh, tell me more.
If we want to motivate ourselves and others towards wisdom, maybe we need to become better storytellers.
Interesting. How so?
Finding ways to share our experiences, our insights, our struggles, all those things that have shaped us, but in a way that really connects with people. You know?
That connects with their hearts and minds.
Exactly.
That's a beautiful thought. It's like we can each become these modern day sages.
Weaving words of wisdom and inspiration that can light a path, not only for ourselves, but for others too.
I love that. And it doesn't have to be some grand epic tale or anything, right?
No, not at all.
It could be a simple story about a time you faced a challenge or made a mistake, learned a valuable lesson. The key is just to be authentic, I think, to share from a place of genuine experience and insight.
I love that. It's like Proverbs is giving us permission to be vulnerable.
Yeah.
To share our own journeys of seeking wisdom and to encourage others along the way.
And that brings us back to that idea of choice, right?
It does.
Proverbs is constantly reminding us that we have agency, the power to choose our path. And those choices have consequences, both for ourselves and for the world around us.
It's a powerful thought.
It's empowering, but it's also kind of daunting. You know, it's like with great power comes great responsibility.
Right.
But at the same time, Proverbs seems to offer so much grace. Like it acknowledges that we're all going to stumble and fall along the way.
Oh, for sure. I mean, we're human.
Exactly. We're not perfect.
And that's where I think that idea of resilience really comes in.
Okay, tell me more about that.
Well, you know, Proverbs 24:16 says, "For though a righteous person falls 7 times, they rise again, but the wicked stumble when calamity strikes."
So it's not about being perfect. It's about getting back up when you fall, right? Learning from those mistakes and just continuing to strive toward wisdom.
Exactly. And I think that's such an important reminder because it's so easy to get discouraged when we mess up.
Oh, yeah. So easy, you know, to feel like I'm not good enough. I should just give up. It's easy to go down that road.
It is. But Proverbs is saying, no, it's okay to fail.
Okay.
As long as you keep getting back up and trying again.
And, you know, that's where I think that community aspect comes in too, right?
Absolutely.
Proverbs really emphasizes the importance of seeking wise counsel, surrounding yourself with people who will both support you and challenge you to grow.
It's like, we don't have to do this alone.
Right.
We can lean on each other.
Encourage each other.
Help each other stay on that path toward wisdom.
And as we do that, it creates this ripple effect outward, right?
It does.
Our individual choices, motivated by wisdom and integrity, start to impact our families, our communities, and ultimately, even the world around us.
It's true. It all starts to spread outward.
It's like those proverbs about social justice and caring for the vulnerable.
Right.
They remind us that our actions really do have the power to create a more just and compassionate society.
They really do.
That's such an inspiring thought when you think about it that way. It's like even small acts of kindness, generosity, integrity.
Even the smallest things.
They can really make a difference.
They really can. And that brings us back to you, our listener. As we've been exploring these depths of motivation in Proverbs, I hope you've been inspired to consider how these ancient insights can shape your own life, your interactions with others, even your vision for a better world. What stands out to you the most from this whole conversation?
Honestly, so much has resonated with me, but if I had to choose one big takeaway, it would be this idea that wisdom isn't just about knowing all the right answers. It's about becoming the kind of person who naturally makes wise choices, you know?
That's beautiful.
And that's a journey, not a destination, right?
It really is.
It takes effort, it takes humility, and it takes a willingness to keep learning and growing, especially when we stumble along the way.
I love that. It's so true. And remember, you're not alone on that journey. We can all support each other, encourage each other, and inspire each other to live lives that reflect that timeless wisdom of Proverbs.
This has been such a rich and thought-provoking deep dive. Thank you so much for sharing your insights with me. It's really helped me connect these ancient Proverbs to my own life. I'm walking away feeling challenged, inspired, and hopeful.
That's wonderful. It's been such a pleasure exploring these ideas with you. And for you, our listeners, as you go back out into your world, remember the power of choice. You have the ability to make decisions that shape your destiny, to cultivate the virtues that lead to flourishing, and to contribute to a world that reflects wisdom, justice, and compassion. Until next time, keep seeking, keep striving, and keep diving deep.